something positive. A husband and wife are getting ready for bed. The wife is standing in front of a full-length mirror, taking a hard look at herself. "You know, dear," she says, "I look in the mirror and I see an old woman. My face is all wrinkled, my hair is gray, my shoulders are hunched over, I've got fat legs, and my arms are all flabby." She turns to her husband and says, "Tell me something positive to make me feel better about myself." He studies hard for a moment, thinking about it, and then says in a soft, thoughtful voice, "Well, there's nothing wrong with your eyesight." Saying the services for the husband will be held Saturday morning at 10:30 at St. Anselm's Memorial Chapel. 11, I want us to start reading in verse 24. "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them." Let's bow our head for prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day and for another opportunity to be here. Thank you so much, Lord, for those who are present. And Lord, I pray that each one of us has come here today with a desire to hear the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you would clear our minds of all distraction. Help us to be able to focus and stay awake and alert and be attentive and be able to receive what we hear today. And if there's any area of our life that needs to change, I pray you'd give us the grace to begin that change right here today. Lord, if there's somebody present that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that this day would be their day of salvation. And I ask, Lord, that you please fill me with your Spirit. Please give me liberty and clarity of thought that I can say exactly what you want said. And this I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, as many of you know, is referred to as the Hall of Faith. The Hall of Faith. In our world, we have what is known as the Hall of Fame. And in the Hall of Fame is recorded people who our society believes have achieved some level of greatness that is worthy of recognition. But in the Hall of Faith, the Holy Spirit of God has recorded for our admonition and learning the names of people whose lives were characterized by faith. Their lives were not characterized by perfection, because as the scripture says, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So their lives were not characterized by perfection, nor can it be said that at every point in their lives their faith was as it should have been. But overall, these were men and women of faith. They were men and women who, as the scripture says, walked by faith and not by sight. Men and women whose faith, according to God, is worthy of our recognition. That is why he has recorded them here for us in the Word of God. And in the verses that we just read, we have recorded the faith of Moses, a man that most of you know was used by the Lord to bring about the deliverance of his people from Egyptian bondage. And from what is written here, I see five things that Moses did by faith. Now, this is not the message, but I do want you to take note of these five things. First of all, I see in verse number 24, that by faith Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's one thing he did by faith. A second thing is in verse 25. There you see that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. A third thing is in verse number 26, and that is he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Another in verse number 24 or 27, where we see that by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And then finally in verse number 28, we see that through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. So five things that Moses did by faith. But now the thing that I want to focus on for the message today is what the scripture says in verse number 25 about the pleasures of sin. I kind of faked you out with the introduction. I made you think with the introduction that I was going to be talking today about faith. We're not going to be talking about faith today. Today I'm going to deal with the pleasures of sin. That is the title and the subject of the message. And there are three main truths that I want to address this morning about the pleasures of sin. The first thing that I want to say today about the pleasures of sin is that they are tempting. The pleasures of sin are tempting. Take a look once again with me, if you would, at verse number 25 and notice the wording here. It says in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. That was the choice that Moses made by faith. He made a deliberate choice to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. It says the pleasures of sin. I want you to pay attention to that phrase or that expression, the pleasures of sin. When he says the pleasures of sin, he's talking about the pleasures that come from or are the result of sin. That's what he's referring to. And we must all be honest this morning and admit that there is a certain amount of fleshly pleasure that comes from sin. Amen? I mean, let's be honest about it. The only way we're going to get any help is to be honest. So let's not try to be super spiritual. Let's be honest and be real and admit there is a certain amount of fleshly pleasure or gratification that comes from sin. And this, according to verse number 25, or these are pleasures that can be enjoyed. Take a look once again at verse 25 and notice it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. So a person can actually enjoy the pleasures of sin, right? That's what the Bible says. Sin can produce some very enjoyable feelings and sensations, both in our physical bodies as well as our emotions. And this is why the pleasures of sin are tempting. It's why they have a draw or a pull that is felt by all. Now, again, we might try to esteem ourselves very spiritual, especially in the eyes of others, and act like we don't feel that pull. But the truth this morning, the harsh reality this morning, is that every one of us from time to time throughout our lives feel the pull of the pleasures of sin. We are enticed. We are tempted. It is there in our old carnal nature, that desire to experience and to enjoy those pleasures that come from doing things that are sinful. So the pleasures of sin are tempting to us. This is something that I believe causes a lot of people to choose exactly what Moses resisted at this particular time in his life. See, Moses had a choice. He could choose to enjoy the pleasures of sin, or he could choose to suffer affliction with the people of God. And Moses at this point made a choice. His choice was, look, I'm not going to enjoy the pleasures of sin. I could do that, but at this point I'm not going to. I'm going to make a choice to suffer affliction with the people of God. Many times in our lives we choose what he resisted, because there is that draw and that pull, that temptation that is there, because it's something that our old flesh, that Adamic nature, craves and desires. We choose what Moses resisted. We might do it on different levels or with regarding different things, but we make the choice many times to gratify our flesh, to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Oh, we might not go out and do some of the horrible things that we hear about other people doing, but you don't have to go out and do those horrible things to enjoy the pleasures of sin. You don't have to do that. You can sit right in your living room and enjoy the pleasures of sin. You can spend a little time looking at your cell phone or the computer and enjoy the pleasures of sin. Y'all following what I'm saying? It ain't just the people over at Soggy Bottom enjoying the pleasures of sin, or in some pub somewhere down the road, or down at some terrible place at the beach or whatever. You can sit right in the comforts of your own home and gratify your flesh. That's what you can do. And there are many times when we are not in the presence of other people, when we're just by ourselves. And I've heard it said before that the true test of your character is how you behave when you're by yourself. It's not how you behave when you're around other people, because let's be honest about it, we can all act good for a little while, right? How do you act when you're by yourself? What do you allow yourself to indulge in when nobody but God is looking? There are a lot of people that have secret sins going on in their lives, things that their husband, their wife, their children, the people in their church family, they don't know anything about, but these are sins that are very real, and they're indulging in those things, and they're enjoying the pleasure that's coming to them right now because of that sin. They've been tempted. They felt that pull, that draw to give in and experience that pleasure, and that's what's happened. They've made the choice to gratify themselves. First of all, I see right here that the pleasures of sin are tempting. But I must hasten on to say, secondly, this morning, that not only are they tempting, they are temporary. This point here, and then the last one especially that I'm going to deal with today, are the two that the devil really wants you to tune out on. So if you want to do what the devil wants you to do, then get bored right now with the message and get your mind off somewhere else and don't listen to nothing else Brother Keith's got to say from this point forward in the sermon. If you'll do that, then the devil will have accomplished what he wanted to this morning for you. These are the two that are the most important in the message. Yes, these things are tempting, but second of all, you need to understand that the pleasures of sin are just temporary. Just temporary. Can you get some satisfaction from sin? Can you get some pleasure? Can you enjoy certain feelings and sensations that come to you in your physical body as well as in your emotional being? Can you get that from sin? Absolutely, you can. There are people today that tell lies one right after the other because of the feeling that they get from telling those lies. We're not talking at this point about what you feel in your physical body. There's all kind of sins you can commit that allow you to experience pleasure in your flesh, in your physical body. But what about those sins that people commit that make them feel good on the inside? Y'all listening to what I'm saying? Those things they do. And here again, this is proof that you don't have to do a whole bunch of those really bad things. I'm amazed at how we categorize things. And you know, in our mind, we think, well, if a fellow's a drunkard, that's a horrible, terrible thing. And then we sit around with a heart full of bitterness and act like this person over here is a drunkard, such a horrible person. You know what people are doing who are sitting around with bitterness in their heart and not giving the forgiveness that God tells them to give, they're just making themselves, at least for a time, feel good on the inside. It feels good to them to not forgive that person because, after all, they don't deserve my forgiveness. And in the beginning, it gives them some level of gratification, some good feeling to not let go of that thing and allow forgiveness for the person that has offended them. Are y'all following me? So this pleasure that comes, it doesn't just affect your physical body. It can affect you emotionally. But here's the thing about it. Whether it's pleasure that affects you on or in your flesh, your physical body, or it's something that gives you good feeling in your emotion, it makes no difference. It's all temporary. You hear me? It's just temporary. Look at what the Bible says right here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for what? A season. And you've heard it said many times in your life, I'm sure, by myself perhaps and other preachers, Sunday school teachers. You've been told, you've heard the saying that there is pleasure in sin but for a, you've heard that, right? Well, what is a season, by the way? And we talked about this not too awful long ago. A few Sundays ago, I preached a message where I gave you the definition of a season. But it shouldn't be real hard for you to figure out. A season is just a certain period of time. A season, listen to me, is never an endless period of time, right? A season is just a certain period of time. It is never an endless period of time. It's not a thing where it starts and it just goes on forever and ever and ever and ever, like the seasons of the year. It's not winter time all the time, is it? You have winter for just a few months, for a certain period of time, and then you move into another season. And that's the way it is with the pleasures of sin. They only last for a season. Yes, there is pleasure that comes from sin, but that pleasure is not going to last forever. It's just temporary. Just going to be around for a while, and then I can promise you things are going to change. So listen very carefully to me. Just know that the pleasure you're enjoying right now from some sin you're committing is not going to last. Just know that. If you're here this morning and there's some sin that you're indulging in, you're allowing yourself to feel pleasure from that, and you know in your heart that what you're doing is wrong. You know it's a sin. You know it's against God, but boy, it makes you feel good. Every time you do it, you get some level of sensation from it. Every time you allow yourself to indulge in that, there's some good feeling you have. And right now, you're just like a sponge. You're just soaking it up. You can't wait. Maybe sitting there right now, can't wait till the next time you can do it. There wouldn't be anybody in here like that. Well, I hope not, but I guess there's a possibility since the Lord gave me this message. Possibility that there's somebody or maybe several somebodies that's indulging in some kind of sin. You know it's wrong. You know that God doesn't want you to do it, but it makes you feel good. You're enjoying it. Honest to God, that's how you feel right now. Every single time you do it, you enjoy it. You get some level of gratification or satisfaction from it, and you can't wait till the next time you get to do it. Maybe God sent this message for you this morning just to remind you that that pleasure you're experiencing right now isn't going to last forever. It's just temporary. Yeah, you may be having fun now. Your flesh may be absorbing it and enjoying it right now. But what I want you to understand is that one day your pleasure, are you listening to me? Your pleasure is going to take a drastic turn, and it's going to go from pleasure to pain. That's what's going to happen. Because the pleasures of sin never last. Not forever. They may last for a long time. There may be somebody who does something and they get a great deal of pleasure from it, and it may go on for years and years. years and years enjoying themselves, toying around with that thing, allowing it in their life, knowing again and again God's convicted them about it, knowing again and again the Holy Spirit of God's put his finger on that sin and told them, you better stop that, you better stop that, you better stop that, you better stop that, and they just keep on. You know why they keep on? Because it feels good. Makes that flesh feel good. They like it. They're enjoying it. And because nothing bad has happened right now, they think they're getting by with it. They think everything's fine. I'm just going to be able to live out the remainder of my life and enjoy this sin, whatever it is, the pleasure that's coming from it. And they keep on and they keep on. So maybe it's something that you've been enjoying for years. I'm still here to tell you this morning, there's coming a day when the pleasure's going to run out. It doesn't last forever. One day the pleasure is going to take a drastic turn to pain. It's not going to be fun anymore. Again, this is what the devil doesn't want you to know. You know what the devil does? He does a great job at his work. He does a great job at setting before you sin and the pleasure you can have from indulging in sin. He does it through books and magazines, through television, through the computer, through billboards on the side of the highway. He has all sorts of means and mediums by which he sets before us sin. And man, isn't he good at glamorizing sin? Isn't he good at making it look so fun? Isn't he good at making it seem so pleasurable? And he'll convince you. This is the tempting part of it. See, he'll convince you into thinking, man, if I can do that, I will have so much fun. How is it you think that young kids and teenagers get drawn off into a lot of the stuff they get involved in? Thought about that? I think back to my life when I was a teenager. Many of you can think back to the days when you were a teenager. You know what the pull was? Why you wanted to get off into all that stuff and why you did get off into it and revel in those things? You know why? It was the idea in your mind that you could have fun and enjoy yourself. Right? I mean, a person in their right mind. A person in their right mind isn't going to say, you know, if I go do that, it's going to ruin my life. I believe I'll go get in on some of that. Now, what pulls them to that is the thought in their mind, that'll make me feel good. I can enjoy that. I'll have fun doing that. And so they go off down that road and they get in it. But the devil's really, really good at making you think that sin is a good thing and you'll have so much fun and there'll be so much pleasure, and there might be for a while, but it's just going to be for a while. It's just going to be temporary. And then things are going to change at some point. And here's the third thing you need to understand this morning about the pleasures of sin. Not only are they tempting and temporary, but thirdly, I want you to understand that they are tragic. The pleasures of sin are tragic. Yeah, they're enjoyable for a while, but you know what happens at some point? And I'm telling you, this is the truth without exception. There's no exceptions to what I'm talking about. Perhaps, as I mentioned, you've been doing whatever it is you're doing for a long time and you think you're getting away with it and you're convinced sitting here this morning you are the exception to that rule. You're not the exception, and one day it's going to catch up with you just like it catches up with everybody else. Do you hear me? You better listen to what I'm saying to you. I'm telling you something right here this morning that could save your life. Something that could prevent you from destroying your life or the lives of other people. That pleasure, it may be good, and you may enjoy it for a while, but there is no exception. Somewhere down the road, you're going to have a change in your situation, and there's going to be tragedy that comes from enjoying that pleasure that comes from sin. It results in tragedy. There's a couple of reasons that I can think of why it does. One is because of the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. Why do the pleasures of sin only last for a while? Why are they just temporary? Well, God has said in his word, has he not, that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Isn't that what God said? Now you tell me, is there an exception to that? No. Now the devil wants you to think that you are the exception, or there are some exceptions in this world, but there is no exception to that spiritual law. If you sow it, somewhere down the line, you're going to reap it. And listen carefully, it says, he that soweth to his flesh, shall of his flesh reap corruption. Isn't that what the Bible says? You know what people are doing whenever they're indulging in the pleasures of sin? You know what they're doing? They're sowing to their flesh. That's what they're doing. It's just about what makes them feel good. Makes my flesh feel good. And who was it that come up with the phrase, if it feels good, do it? Who come out with that nonsense? Y'all remember? What would some big company come out with that, didn't they? If it feels good, do it. I can't remember, but that's the idea, man. It feels good. If it feels good to you, just do it. Yeah, that's the way the devil wants you to think. It feels good, so just do it. Get in on it. But you know what you're doing? You're just sowing bad seeds. You're sowing to your flesh, and one day there's going to be a harvest. You're going to reap what you've sown. If you sow to that flesh, you will of your flesh reap corruption. That's a promise from the Word of God. But I can think also of another reason why the pleasures of sin are tragic, and that's because of the judgment of God. How many of you understand this morning that God judges sin? And I'm not just talking about in the life of lost people. I do believe he judges sin in the lives of lost people, but he also judges sin in the lives of believers. And I'm not just talking about when you get to heaven at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm talking about right down here on this earth. God judges sin in the lives of his children. When his children indulge in sin and they won't repent and they won't get the thing right, when they won't judge themselves so that they're not chastened with the world like the Bible says, then God takes matters into his own hands. And he judges people for their sin. Let me show you an illustration of what I'm talking about right here in Hebrews. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse number 4. I'm going to read you a promise out of the Bible. This is a promise just like Philippians 4:19, 4:13, Romans 8:28, all those verses we like to quote. Here's your promise from the Bible. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. You believe that? Well, that's what it says. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You see that? A lot of people in this world that's involved in adultery, fornication, uncleanness. You know why? Why are they doing that, by the way? Why? You tell me. They enjoying themselves, ain't they? I mean, let's be real about it. Makes them feel good. So they're in it. Do you know what's going to happen? That pleasure they're enjoying right now is one day going to turn to pain, because God is going to judge them for what they're doing. Why is it that the pleasures of sin are tragic? Because of the spiritual law of sowing and reaping, and because of the judgment of God. Please understand this morning that when it comes to the pleasures of sin, they always end in tragedy. Death. People are dead now. Their life on earth ended because they continued to indulge in the pleasures of sin. They could still be alive right now, still having a life right now, but they're dead. Dead prematurely because they continued to indulge in the pleasures of sin. The tragedy that comes is unbelievable. There's bondage. There's people who started out, they just wanted to have a little drink with their buddies or smoke a little weed with their buddies, just have a little good time with their buddies, and now they have an addiction that is taking from them everything they have ever owned. They're addicted to it. But it started out as just something fun, enjoying it, just having a good time, gratifying my flesh, and now they're in bondage to that thing, and every day of their life they live as a slave. Bankruptcy, people in bankruptcy right now. Really, I'm telling you God's honest truth. In bankruptcy because they just had to enjoy themselves. Pleasures of sin. Once they had so much, now they have nothing. They're in bankruptcy. Homes busted up. Divorces. Damaged children. A testimony that's ruined. Churches that are split. All sorts of tragedy comes when we decide we're going to indulge ourselves and allow ourselves to enjoy the pleasures of sin. I was thinking about this as I was coming to church this morning, and we turned on the radio to Wayo because they have the Good Time Gospel Hour on Sunday morning. The first song they were playing when I turned it on this morning was Hank Williams Sr., I Saw the Light. And I sat there listening to that thing and I thought, my goodness. Here is a man, many of you are old enough that you remember Hank Williams Sr. and the things that he sang and how popular he was in his day, right? Here is a man who gets the popularity and he gets all the stuff that comes along with that. He enjoys himself, and it looks like he's just got a wonderful life. Do y'all know how he wound up? Dead in the back seat of a car at 29 years of age. That's how that man wound up. Oh, but he had a good time for a while, didn't he? Dead. The second song that came on after that was by Elvis of Pelvis Presley. What's that one he sang? So everybody makes such a big deal about how Elvis sings it. What is it? How Great Thou Art. I'm sitting there thinking, you know, the damage that man did to people's lives through the wickedness, the ungodliness. Everybody holds him up as such an idol. He got the women, the money, all that. You know how he died? He died at a young age sitting on a toilet. How many of you knew that? Died at a young age sitting on a toilet. But there's pleasure in sin, isn't there? There's a lot of fun. It got quiet in here when I got to talking about Elvis and Hank Sr. Maybe that's some of y'all's idols a little bit or something. We'll kick them around a little bit longer. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is there is fun in sin. There's pleasure in it. You can indulge yourself and you can have a good time, but you're only going to have a good time for a certain amount of time. And then there's going to be tragedy. You can absolutely ruin your life and the lives of so many other people by indulging in sin. So if by chance there's somebody here this morning and you got something going on, Maybe you're just feeling the sensation and the ooey-gooey feeling that you get by texting back and forth with somebody that you're not married to and you're hiding it from your spouse. Maybe you're enjoying that today. Well, you just keep on enjoying that, and the next thing you know, you're going to wake up divorced. Amen. Just keep on. Keep on hiding that stuff from your wife. Keep on hiding that stuff from your children. And getting the adrenaline rush and enjoying yourself, just having so much fun, and wake up one day with your life ruined. Because that's what's going to happen if you keep on enjoying the pleasures of sin. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be in church, thankful for the Word of God, for the truth. Thank you, Lord, that you're so merciful to show us the truth. So that hopefully we can avoid the consequences of sin. God, give us grace and help this morning. Whatever decision we need to make, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.